coronavirus. Of course, that's what everyone's talking about right now. Five things a Christian should know and do. That's a topic we'll discuss right here today on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Well, thank you for joining us today as we discuss this news story that's taken over everything. I was reading the Guardian UK newspaper the other day, the top 10 stories at that particular publication. I'm guessing this isn't unique to them, were about the coronavirus. So according to the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, a new coronavirus respiratory disease that was first detected in China called COVID-2019. A COVID stands for Coronavirus Disease 2019, has quickly altered life worldwide. The World Health Organization has just upgraded the disease to a global pandemic. Now, while the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in this country, reports that there have been 1,629 total cases in the U.S. with 41 deaths. At least that was the last reporting. It's changing daily. That's a relatively small number considering our overall population of 327 million people. That's literally 0.0005% of our population has had reported cases of the coronavirus. But the threat of it has led to an enormous downturn of the stock market, cancellations of large gatherings, whether it's major sporting events, Disneyland, conferences, churches, shortages of basic goods, toilet paper, hand sanitizer, runs on food all over the country, suspensions of schools and workplaces, major disruptions as well to the travel industry, among many other things, which sort of leaves us to the obvious conclusion: how quickly life can change and how little control we actually have in this life. I mean, no one really saw that this extreme of measures would be coming this quickly. I mean, after all, I was in Los Angeles last week for the Shepherd's Conference, went to church at Grace Community Church last Sunday. Well, 5-6 days later, they're announcing that church services have been canceled. The travel industry has been shaken. Everything has changed very significantly over the past week. And so today in the Christian Worldview, we're going to discuss this coronavirus, COVID-19, the focus of almost every news story in people's lives all around the world. Everyone is talking about it, of course. How should a Christian think about this? What should we know about it? What should we think about it? And what should you do and not do? And what are some theological truths to keep in mind that we can rest in the midst of a pretty unprecedented situation, at least in my lifetime, where the country has been declared a national emergency and things are being shut down on a big, wide scale all across the world in this country. Well, the latest facts on the coronavirus, and it's a little difficult to get factual information because there's so much reporting going on in social media and so forth, but you know, to go to some of the more governmental agencies to get some facts on this, because the news media has a vested interest in hyping this, because the more they hype it and the more kind of fear they create, you know, the more people will click on their websites, the more people will watch their news reports. So there's a vested interest there in getting more people to watch because you can charge more for advertising. So there's a financial and viewer advantage to doing that. You know, of course, social media is unreliable. It's very rumor-based. You get the extremes of, oh, this is just a hoax, and, well, the flu is much worse. Many more people die from the flu. We'll talk about that in a second. You know, this is just a Democratic attempt to sink Trump on one side. Then on the other side, the other extreme is, well, you know, Trump hasn't done enough to stop this. You know, 150 million people was reported in the Drudge Report are going to be infected with this disease. That's nearly half of our population. So you have extremes of reporting. You just have no idea what really to say, well, that's accurate or that's an exaggeration. China, where the disease was first detected, is actively propagandizing to blame the U.S. for this. They're not going to take credit. They're trying to change the whole narrative, so it's not their fault. It's the Americans' fault. The Center for Disease Control and the World Health Organization, these are major organizations. I already quoted them today, but they're not immune to facts being manipulated for their agendas. So remember, worldview is always the bottom line. Money isn't the bottom line in life. Worldview, ideology, is the bottom line in life. And so they're going to report things. I'm not saying they're, you know, terribly biased, but it's not. They're just made up of people, and people have agendas, and people have worldviews. So, and certainly as you listen to our program today, I'm not an expert on this. You know, I'm reading and watching the same reports you are. You know, I can tell you what the Bible says about things, but as far as this coronavirus, you know, I'm reading the same things you are and trying to extrapolate what's truth, what's likely, what's not. So take that just in consideration as we do this program today. Well, according to the CDC, just a few more facts on how this started in case there's been too much news reporting and you're trying to get back to the very basics. This is from the CDC. Early on, it says many of the patients at the epicenter of the outbreak in Wuhan province or Wuhan city in Hubei province in China had some link to a large seafood and live animal market, suggesting that there was an animal to person spread. And, you know, whether it was like I've heard, and again, I don't know if this is true, like, you know, there people were eating bats or something in some of these open animal markets where, you know, the hygiene is very suspect, at least to American standards. So somehow, you know, maybe a human ate something of an animal and got this disease. And then it spread to other persons. Like I said in CDC here, later a growing number of patients reportedly did not have exposure to these animal markets, indicating that it started the spread from person to person. So it went from animal, like a bat, to a person or something like that, and then all of a sudden the virus showed itself to be able to go not just from animal to person, but from person to person. That's what we're seeing around the world today. Who it most affects, according to the CDC, older people and people of all ages with severe underlying health conditions like heart disease, lung disease, and diabetes, for example, it says, seem to be at higher risk of developing serious COVID-19 illness. So it definitely affects all people, especially if they have underlying health conditions. It's a respiratory flu-like disease, but particularly older people are more susceptible to having really severe and even death as a result of this virus. I want to play a soundbite to start off here from Anthony Fauci. You've probably seen him on TV. He's a doctor. He's an American immunologist and scientist, the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health. You've seen him on the news channels. He's part of the president's task force trying to stop this. Here's what he said about the coronavirus.
SARS was also a coronavirus in 2002. It infected 8,000 people, and it killed about 775. It had a mortality of about 9 to 10%. So that's only 8,000 people. In about a year, in the 2.5 months that we've had this coronavirus, as you know, we now have multiples of that. So it clearly is not as lethal. I'll get to the lethality in a moment, but it certainly spreads better. Probably for the practical understanding of the American people, the seasonal flu that we deal with every year has a mortality of 0.1%. The stated mortality overall of this, when you look at all the data, including China, is about 3%. It first started off as 2 and now 3. I think if you count all the cases of minimally symptomatic or asymptomatic infection, that probably brings the mortality rate down to somewhere around 1%, which means it is 10 times more lethal than the seasonal flu. I think that's something that people can get their arms around and understand.
Okay, that's Dr. Anthony Fauci. And basically, that's sort of putting to rest the idea of people saying, well, it's not as bad as the flu. More people get the flu every year. More people die of the flu. Well, yes, that's because more people have caught the flu already. This is a burgeoning virus. This hasn't been able to take hold like the seasonal flu yet. But as you said, it's more devastating. Once more people got it, more people will die of it than die of the flu. And this is why everything's being canceled. I mean, like I mentioned at the beginning, what was it? Something like 0.0005% of the population has it. Just infinitesimal, right? But if it starts to spread like it has in certain parts of Italy and apparently Iran and obviously in China and so forth, you know, they're trying to slow this so the healthcare system is not overwhelmed in this country. I mean, that would be just, you know, wouldn't be enough beds and treatments and everything else if it's allowed to spread. So they're trying to cancel everything, sporting events, you name it, so that not as many people get infected, so there's not a rush on healthcare. Now, along with this have come all, of course, all the conspiracy theories, and I can't verify or put to rest any of them. I don't have any inside information about any of these. Some will say it's a manufactured crisis that China started this at a virus lab in their country, or it's a biological weapon, and they're trying to take down Trump in retaliation for the tariffs he put against the country, and they're trying to take down this country. I don't know. Maybe. I have no evidence to say that. Of course, the leadership of China is certainly not beyond that. It's a very, very evil, evil country from a communist leadership standpoint. So I have no reason to think that they're better than that. But I have also no reason to think that that's actually the case too. Some people think it's a testing of the police state here in this country. Like, how far can we be pushed to be having to enter a police state? You have to always watch out for government overreach. Now, President Trump declared a national emergency yesterday, and what it ostensibly does is open up a lot of freedoms, and you drop regulations for how healthcare can be done because it's a crisis. But you remember back in 9/11, the Patriot Act and so forth. There's easily losses of civil liberties in emergencies like this. So you have to pay very close attention. You know, with this, especially in health emergencies like this, governments have almost unsurpassed power to do whatever they want in health emergencies like this. Because after all, they're going to put it in quotes here. They're trying to. It's just for your health and your safety. And so under that reason, almost anything can be done in this kind of situation. So this is something very much to pay attention to. And however started and whatever the conspiracy theories are, there's no doubt this crisis will be used for political ends. I mean, this is an election year. In the words of Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago and President Obama's advisor, "And you never let a crisis go to waste," he said. And the Democrats are going to use this to try to undermine Trump. If Trump doesn't do the right thing here, like if he hadn't declared a national emergency and everything hadn't been shut down, it's a little early here. Okay. If he hadn't shut everything down, he'd look really bad if this took off and all of a sudden infected so many, many people in the world. So he's sort of in a quandary. If I don't do it, it's going to get worse and it's going to work. We'll come back and talk more after this.
It is a pain to know that there are people who do not know Jesus. It is a greater pain to know that oftentimes Jesus and Christianity is being distorted.
Your destiny is calling out. It's time to start living large.
I don't think God killed Jesus.
That's a sick God and a sick story.
This is the doctrine of Christianity. This is the doctrine that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world.
The American gospel films contrast the false teaching so prevalent today to true biblical Christianity. For a limited time, we are offering both films for a donation of $30 or more to the Christian Worldview. Regular retail is $17.99 each. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org. or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Five things a Christian should know and do about the coronavirus that's taking place right now has really changed things in our society very, very quickly. This is the Christian Worldview Radio Program. I'm David Wheaton. Radio is a safe way to get through this particular coronavirus. There's no person-to-person contact here, so we're thankful for that today. And as I was mentioning, just in the setup, give me some background on where this came from, how it started, and who it most affects, and some of the conspiracy theories going on, and never let a crisis go to waste, and how the Democrats are going to use this to their advantage, and how Trump has to do the right thing here. If he doesn't do enough, you know, if it doesn't appear to be doing enough, and it spreads like a real mass contagion, you know, he's going to lose the election over it because it's such a big deal. I want to play one more soundbite and before we get into those five things a Christian should know and do about it. Again, back to Dr. Anthony Fauci and what he thinks, and he's on the task force, the president's task force for this. You see him on TV and so forth. Here's what his thoughts are on what's going to happen going forward and why everything is closing.
Well, it's certainly going to get worse before it gets better. And the kinds of mitigation strategies, containment and mitigations that you're talking about, is to do that kind of physical separation of people, which is one of the very effective ways that you can really mitigate the spread of the virus. If you look at the pattern of viruses, particularly these types of viruses, and even look at what's gone on in China and in Italy and in South Korea, you go along like this, the way we were, and then you have a big spike that goes way up, and then after a while, after much disease and suffering and death, it comes back down again. The purpose of the mitigation is to get that peak and to blunt it so that it's a bit of a hill as opposed to a mountain. We're at a critical point now, more in some regions of the country than in others, but in general, the kinds of things that are going on will hopefully make that blunting of that peak so that we could save a lot of lives and save a lot of illness.
But to be clear, we are not peaked yet.
No, there's no doubt that we have not peaked yet.
Okay, that's Anthony Fauci of the National Institute of Health. And I also wanted to just read you what it's like going on in Europe. I received a text message yesterday from Soren Kern. Remember Soren? He was the one who came and spoke at one of our speaker series events a couple years ago. He's a geopolitical analyst for the Gatestone Institute. He texted me yesterday, and I think he'd be fine with me reading this on the air. He said, Spain is now in a state of emergency. As of tomorrow, that's today, we're going to be confined to our home for at least 15 days, possibly more. The entire country is shut down. No one to be seen. He said it's eerie. He said a study I read today says that Spain is 7 days behind Italy, Germany is 11 days behind, and that USA is 16 days behind. The full force of the virus is coming to Spain this weekend, and he says probably to America in just under 2 weeks. And so that was his analysis, Soren Kern. And you can see how just what that's basically what Anthony Fauci just said. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So just because everything's been shut down here doesn't mean that bell curve is not going to keep going up. And what they're trying to do is trying to keep that bell curve from getting so high. They're trying to keep it lower and keep everyone separate from each other for a couple weeks in the hope that not as many people will get infected. And so I actually think it's probably a pretty good idea even though it's really extreme to do this, and with so few people, you think, well, not that many people are sick, not that many people are dying. What's going on? Well, I think they don't want to take the chance of it sort of getting out of control and overwhelming everything. Okay, let's get on to more the theological, spiritual side of this. Five things I think a Christian should know and do. We'll try to open up the phone lines today as well if we have some time and get some of your thoughts as well. I think the first thing a Christian should know and do, and this is probably the most important point here, is to know and to trust that God is sovereign over this. Now, this word sovereignty gets thrown around a lot. People misunderstand what it means, or they don't believe in God's sovereignty. But sovereign means basically to rule or to reign. The word reign is in the word sovereign, to have control, to be in authority. It's the truth of Scripture is that God either causes or allows everything that happens to happen. In other words, as R.C. Sproul once said, if there is one single molecule in this universe running around loose, totally free of God's sovereignty, then we have no guarantee that a single promise of God will ever be fulfilled. That's by R.C. Sproul in his book, By God, Chosen by God. And so the idea of God's sovereignty is that God controls everything that happens, causes it, or he allows it to happen. And I went to Got Questions. They have usually good one-page summaries on some of these theological questions and doctrines. And they say God's sovereignty is one of the most important principles in Christian theology, as well as one of its most hotly debated topics. Whether or not God is actually sovereign is usually not a topic of debate. All mainstream Christians, sects, they call it, agree that God is preeminent in power and authority. God's sovereignty is a natural consequence of his omniscience. That means he knows all. His omnipotence means he's all-powerful. And his omnipresence means he's all-present. Okay, so God's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. Therefore, he's sovereign, right? But that's not what's subject to disagreement, they say. It's to what extent God applies his sovereignty. Specifically, how much control he exerts over the will of man, how much he exerts over our lives. When we speak of the sovereignty of God, we mean that he rules the universe, but then the debate begins over when and where his control is direct and where it is indirect. The article goes on to say that the reality of human volition or human will and human accountability to God sets the maximum boundary for God's sovereign control over the universe, which is to say that there is a point at which God chooses to allow things that he does not directly cause. So that's just saying the same thing I said just earlier. God either causes something to happen or he allows it to happen. So look at passages like Deuteronomy 28, when God's speaking to the nation of Israel. For the person out there thinks, well, God would never cause a disease, a pestilence like this. This is all over Scripture. God's doing this. I mean, this is not just in one place. I'll give you one example in Deuteronomy 28 when he's speaking to the nation of Israel. He says, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. The Lord will make the pestilence, that's a wasting disease, cling to you until he has consumed you, from the land where you are entering to possess. This is Moses speaking on behalf of God. The Lord will smite you with consumption and with fever and with inflammation, with fiery heat and with the sword and with blight and with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. Again, that's just one example of the many examples in Scripture where God directly causes a pestilence like this for his purposes, for punishment or consequences of something. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly the purpose here. I do not know God's purposes in this. What I'm saying, though, is God is sovereign. He either caused this or he allowed this. So we should never think that the common evangelical notion that God is only loving and he only does good things to us and nothing ever, that is not found in Scripture at all. There are definitely consequences and punishments and pestilences that come directly from God. Think of the plagues in Egypt, when the nation of Israel was leaving Egypt, many other places throughout Scripture. Read the book of Revelation and what God is going to do in the end times. These are directly caused by God. Now, the other reality is that God allows these things to happen. We see in the book of Job that that an amazing account, something that should just really open our eyes to the way God operates. In Job, we have Job was a righteous man, wealthy, had everything, large family, everything. And all of a sudden we find out in Job, this is a historical reality. This isn't a myth or a legend here. This is a metaphor. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, these are Satan and his angels, demons came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So apparently Satan has access to God. I mean, this is something, whoa, we didn't know this, huh? The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear you or fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to him, "Here it is. Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And then you probably know the rest of the story, that Satan afflicted Job, and he lost his family and all his possessions, and he got terribly sick and boils and everything. So there's the example of God's sovereignty again, God allowing Satan to do evil, painful, insidious, nefarious work on the earth. This is all part of God's sovereignty. So if your view of God is, well, God only does good things, he only brings us, you know, bunnies and puppies, you're not reading the God of the Bible. God either actively causes something like this to happen, or he allows it to happen. We don't understand why. We can't just make a conclusion because we know that. Now we know the reason why he did this. We just know that God is sovereign over it, and it's not out of his control. So that's the first thing we can rest in, is that this is not out of his control. God will use this, either cause it or allowed it, and he will use it for his purposes to advance his plan forward, and ultimately he will bring glory back to him. By contrast, even in our advanced world, as opposed to God having complete control over all the affairs of life, this should teach us that we have very little control over life. Life as we know it, as we found out this past week, can be changed and shut down very quickly. Supply chain disruption, no food, income lost, work, travel, hospital rooms, meds, everything has changed in a week. So as opposed to God being sovereign, we are definitely not. Coming back more after this on the Christian Worldview.
That critical race theory and intersectionality are simply analytical tools. They're
true.
Meant to be used as tools, not as a worldview.
It's not true. It's
not a transcendent worldview above the authority of Scripture. And we stand by the strength of this resolution.
Is the Southern Baptist Convention diverging from biblical orthodoxy over issues of women teaching men, homosexuality, and critical race theory? Is this a bellwether of what's coming to your church? By What Standard is a 110-minute DVD documentary about the battle taking place in the SBC. You can receive the DVD for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
David Wheaton here to tell you about my boy Ben, a story of love, loss, and grace. Ben was a yellow lab and inseparable companion at a stage in my life when I was single and competing on the professional tennis tour. I invite you to enter into the story and its tapestry of relationships with Ben, my aging parents, with a childhood friend I would finally marry, and ultimately with God, who caused all things, even the hard things, to work together for good. Order the book for your friend who needs to hear about God's grace and the gospel, or the one who has gone through a difficult trial or loss, or just the dog lover in your life. Signed and personalized copies are only available at myboyben.com or by calling 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233. 2233 or myboyben.com.
We got to keep going here to get to these five things a Christian should know and do regarding this coronavirus taking place right now. And the first point we had talked about, welcome back to the Christian Worldview, by the way. I'm David Wheaton, the host, and our website is thechristianworldview.org, talking about these five things with regard to this national emergency that was just declared yesterday by the president. The first one was that no one trusts that God is sovereign over this. So he is in control. He's either caused it or allowed it. And whatever it was, he is in complete control of this. We can trust that his plan is moving forward. He's not up in heaven kind of wringing his hands saying, I hope this turns out a certain way, or I hope the president doesn't do this. Or No, he knows the future. He knows what's going on. He's causing or allowing things. He's working through this. His plan is moving forward, okay? So trust, rest in that. But the sub point of this is that, by contrast, even in our very advanced world, we, you and me, have very little control. We're not sovereign at all over life. You know, it is human nature to make life easier and more controllable and more convenient, and that's a good thing. Do you like to have, stores right down the street where you can go and buy food? Of course you do. Do you like indoor plumbing and hot showers and toilet paper and driving your own car and all your needs and wants at your little stores all around? You can just go over. You don't need to store stuff too much in advance. You can just go and get. Of course you do. And this is the result of being made in the image of God, that God gave us intellect. And he also blessed this country with a free market system where there's so much abundance here, where we can really think we're controlling lives to a very high degree. The supply chain in our country is so tightly wound. In other words, they can, something disappears from the market, the supply chain replenishes it right away. Well, that's not the case right now. You go to stores and things are being sold out. They can't replace it fast enough. And we all of a sudden find out that toilet paper is hard to get and things are hard to do. We can't go out of our homes and things are being canceled and everything's being shut down. In a moment, we think we have things under control. The stock market just a week or two ago was up at record highs and there's a high flying time in this country. Well, boom, that is over. And I don't know if it's over for a long time, a short time. I have no idea. And you might just think this is overblown and panic. Well, maybe. But the reality of what is occurring is the reality. In other words, you can say, well, there's not that many people with it. We don't need to panic. Well, the problem is certain people think this in power, think this is a very serious threat. And so therefore, the new reality is that is the new reality. No matter whether it's overblown or not, we are in this new reality now. Life has contracted at this point. And we don't know how long this is going to take. It might be just a couple weeks. My guess, just a guess, is it's probably going to be a couple months, I would say, before they believe that bell curve of more people getting the virus is going to start to drop. We're going to be in the downside of it. So it's not going to be probably a couple days. I think it's going to be longer than that. This is really a very, very, very small taste of what it's going to be like during the tribulation period. Read Revelation with the pestilences and difficulty in buying or selling, a worldwide impact. I've been reading Revelation recently, and those are just very, very strong and deadly pestilences and judgments of God that you see in Revelation. And this is just a little snapshot of that. So the conclusion here is, on this first point of no one trusts that God is sovereign and we are not, is you may be prepped for this, what's going on right now. You may have bought extra food. You may have some money stashed away, some cash stashed away. You may have some meds and so forth to get you through a few months. But all that does is buy you more time, which is important. It just buys you a little more time than the next person. But the reality is we should get under the authority of what James said in James 14. He says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. And this passage isn't just talking about getting involved in business. It's about the attitude of, hey, things are going well. Things are always going to go like this, as it has been in America. You know, we have all the things, the needs that we want and all our wants met. This is not the case. Our life is a vapor, and this should be a reminder that God is sovereign and we are not. He is the one who determines this life and your life. And so our only response to that should be to bow the knee, to repent and believe in his gospel, how we can get right with him, which is putting your trust in Christ's work for you on the cross, confessing your sin, knowing that Christ is the only substitutionary sacrifice for your sin, becoming a born-again Christian, and then trusting him and his sovereignty in a situation like that. That's the first point I think that Christians need to know and do with regards to this coronavirus. The second point is a little more mundane, but I think it's an important point nonetheless, is to prepare yourself, prepare your family, prepare your loved ones. You know, planning ahead for this or any other emergency is just the wise thing to do because, again, we don't know, like that passage said, we don't know what a day is going to bring. Like I mentioned, I was in Los Angeles last week. I was at this conference with 3,500, 4,000 men from all over the world and flying in airplanes. And, you know, the coronavirus was we were aware of it. It was in the news, but we made a decision I wasn't going to go. And we thought, well, it doesn't seem like it's really been a huge impact yet. We decided to go. It was a great conference. We'll do a show on it coming up, some of the recap of it. But, you know, when you get out there, there was very little you could tell that there was any change of life. You know, people weren't wearing masks everywhere. People at the conference were shaking hands, and there's people everywhere. It was just normal. I mean, you could maybe tell 0.0001% things had changed about this virus, but not much. But now, a week later, not even a week later, everything has changed. And so living in the moment, assuming life will always be the same going forward, is not a wise thing to do. So we need to be prepared, I think, somewhat to mitigate the blow of changes which we don't see coming in life. This idea that nothing's ever going to change, this is the way the world thinks. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, know this first of all, that in the last days, and we're living in the last days, it's an era of time, not necessarily the last 10 days, but we're living in the last days. Mockers will come with their mocking, following after their lusts. Here's what they say. Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers, the Old Testament fathers, fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens were created or existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his present word, God's word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. In other words, Christians believe in catastrophism, not uniformitarianism. And what is the difference of those big words? Unbelievers believe in uniformitarianism, that everything has always been the same. There's been no major catastrophes that changed anything. And so that's why they believe in billions and billions of years. There was a little amoeba that appeared somehow out of nowhere. And just over time, uniform time, things, grew and evolved and macroevolution and everything's been the same. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there was a catastrophe at the very beginning of time, just the flood way back at the, you know, that's not at the very beginning, but just shortly after the beginning, there was a flood that God destroyed the earth, that completely remade this world, that changed our geology, it changed everything. And there's a future catastrophe coming as well during the tribulation period and the return of Christ. So in light of that, we should know that as believers, and we should prepare ourselves, just as Joseph did when he knew the famine in Egypt was coming. He was leader and ruler over all of Egypt. He did some things to prepare the country for this famine. 7-year famine, he stored grain, he did all these things, and it really saved the people of Egypt, and we should do the same. Now, I'm not saying we should hoard, don't take more than you need or that you'll ever be able to use, but you should consider having a couple months of food and supplies on hand, not just for this particular coronavirus, but for any time a disruption occurs. Let's say another 9/11 type thing happened, or let's say there was some sort of weapon launched at this country. I mean, our life can be disrupted. This should tell us that. Very quickly it can be disrupted. So I think Christians who know that we live in a catastrophic world where things like this can happen, that we have a duty to care for our families and our loved ones and other people, other believers or other people who are in need. And that's how God designed us ultimately, to not have to be just totally dependent on government. I mean, don't be sitting around not preparing at all for the future or anything bad that can happen and be in a line, you know, relying on the government to take care of you. I mean, if you don't end up needing what you prep with, you can always share it with others. So that's the second point, is prepare yourself and your family and loved ones in some ways. I'm not saying you need to go live in a bunker or get, you know, years worth of food and so forth, but you might just want to have a couple months worth of supplies so you're not waiting in lines, or you're able to get some of your basic needs that, you know, we've seen in some of the social media videos of people, you know, lines wrapping around corners at Costco and so forth with people trying to get something at the last second. In other words, our lives are not totally predictable. We don't live in a uniform world. Point three, I'm going to do this one very quickly. I believe this country needs to disassociate itself from China. This is something that many people have said, and I've said this before in this program. The idea with trading with this country, who has probably the most wicked leadership, maybe apart from Iran or North Korea or maybe Russia and so forth, and that by trading with them, capitalism will change them to become more like that us. Well, how has that worked out? That hasn't worked out at all. Worldview is the bottom line. These are brutal communists who will lie and kill and rewrite history to advance their cause. And we'll talk more about this particular point after this last break of the day here on the Christian Worldview.
There's an abundance of resources available in Christian bookstores and online, but the sad reality is that many of them, even some of the most popular, do not lead to a sound and strong faith. A key aim of the Christian Worldview is to identify and offer resources that are biblically faithful and deepen your walk with God. In our online store, we have a wide range of resources for all ages: adult and children's books and DVDs, Bibles and devotionals, unique gifts, and more. So browse our store at thechristianworldview.org and find enriching resources for yourself, family, friends, small group, or church. You can also order by calling our office toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
It is a pain to know that there are people who do not know Jesus. It is a greater pain to know that oftentimes Jesus and Christianity is being distorted.
Your destiny is calling out. It's time to start living large.
I don't think God killed Jesus.
That's a sick God and a sick story.
This is the doctrine of Christianity. This is the doctrine that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world.
The American gospel films contrast the false teaching so prevalent today to true biblical Christianity. For a limited time, we are offering both films for a donation of $30 or more to the Christian Worldview. Regular retail is $17.99 each. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Five things Christians should know and do regarding the coronavirus pandemic that's taking place right now, just declared a national emergency yesterday by the president. First thing is, know and trust that God is sovereign over this. We spent a lot of time on that earlier in the program. Prepare yourself, your family, your loved ones for crisis like this. We don't live in a uniform world. Things can change very quickly. The third point is to disassociate from China. And the reason that we are so integrated with China is because of cheaper labor. Okay, so we can get our products cheaper in this country. They're invested there so much, U.S. companies, because labor is just more inexpensive. And I never understand why the Democrats are so outraged about the minimum wage price here and working conditions and so forth. But they're not, don't seem to be very outraged at all about the fact that U.S. companies are basically producing everything. It's an exaggeration, but many things over in China, because that's the only difference. You're just paying them less people, less money over there, and they're under this communist dictatorship over there. We're enriching their country. We're allowing them to hold our debt. We're giving them opportunity to steal our military secrets. We're giving them leverage to inflict pain on us because we're so tired. We need them, right? I saw a report this week that there was some official over there that says that they're not going to send us medications that they're producing that we need in this country. This needs to end. And it should, but I don't think it will. You know, we need the manufacturing jobs here. And this is the biblical principle of nationalism, by the way, that the God divided the nations at the Tower of Babel. He wants a nationalized world rather than a global world. And this is the problem we are facing right now is we're so tied into China, who's an enemy of ours, and yet we're so tied with them from tied in with them from a economic standpoint. Point four, what we need to know and do regarding coronavirus. This is a practical one. Just be wise in your health and your contact with others, you know, for the foreseeable future here. Teach yourself, if you don't know, or teach your kids, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Don't shake hands. You don't need to shake hands. You don't need to be the bro, I don't care. I'm not, you know, don't be like that. Why? That's how this virus is passed. Just give someone a fist bump or just say hello. Take your shoes off outside your house. And here's one thing I personally have been doing. I've been trying to get a lot more rest because I get sick, susceptible to getting sick when I get run down, when my immune system's down. So I've been trying to go to bed earlier. I try to take a nap once in a while just to make sure that I'm not getting run down and get more susceptible to getting sick. You may want to take some immune booster supplements like zinc or vitamin C or things like that. People have home remedies and so forth. But just anything to keep your immune system up and your environment clean. And of course, if you feel sick at all or under the weather, stay home. Respect other people. You know, don't try to slough it off. You don't want that. That's not treating your neighbor as you'd want to be treated. It's a biblical principle. So be sure you do that. And I think you should make your own decision about whether to go to church. This has been a big issue that's come up. And that, like I mentioned earlier, was out in Los Angeles, Grace Community Church, California. They've disallowed in California now all gatherings over 250 people. So churches are having to shut down. And so I think there's, you know, some Christians are going to say this is the government and, you know, they're trying to stop the spread of the gospel and so forth. I don't think that is what this is about, at least at this point. The Pacific Justice Institute and Brad Dacus, they represent Christians in situations of civil liberties, wrote a note yesterday. I don't have time to read the whole time today. Basically, he was just saying that, you know, if you choose to disobey this order from the government now, there probably is not a lot of legal standing for you to be held up in court. It's sort of unprecedented. They just don't know. They're not recommending that. They're recommending, if I could just summarize his note here, that better probably just to – these services are not, by the way, shutting down. They're doing their services online. You can still watch church. I just don't want people to gather together. So I don't take this as a directive from the government to not preach the gospel. That's a directive that must be disobeyed according to scripture. But this is a health directive from the government that I think at least for the short term should be obeyed until it's clear that it's being used for other purposes to stop the spread of the gospel and believers from getting together. There's more we could say about that, but we don't have enough time here at the end of the program today. The fifth thing is, unfortunately, we got to all five, is we need to use this time, I think, as believers to sober up, to get our priorities in line with God's priorities, to grow yourself, to help others, to take opportunities to impact others with the truth and with the gospel. There's so many verses in scripture on this idea of soberness. And I think that gets a bad rap in the evangelical church today. Oh, you're just, you know, you're not having any fun. And, you know, the Christian life is about happiness and joy and so forth. Well, the idea of sober is not sad. It just means focused on prioritizing the main things as the main things. It means we live our lives sober. In other words, centered around who God is and what he wants for us. Centered around sanctification, growing in Christ-likeness. Doing our duties as Christians, our responsibilities of discipleship and evangelism with our families and with others we come in contact with. That's what it means to be sober, and it says it all over Scripture. Therefore, in 1 Peter, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Older men, Titus 2, are to be sober-minded, dignified, and self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. This is not about being sad, but rather focused on the main things. It's very easy in our society to get so focused on our little lives, our personal peace and affluence, our needs and our wants, our entertainment, our amusements, our recreations, our eatings, our drinkings, the temporal over the eternal. Let this crisis of coronavirus be a realization that life is not uniform. We are not here just to fulfill our own needs. We're here to know God closer, to be related, to be in relationship closely with him, to be ambassadors to this world. And that's going to mean different things for different people during this crisis. If you're a younger person and maybe you don't have family, you're not taking care of older people, maybe you want to be on the front lines of helping people who have this virus. Now, if you're an older person or if you have family and so forth, that may not be what your responsibility is now. Maybe more to care for your family and those in your church or something like that. It's going to look different. But ultimately, a deeper sobriety, focusing on the priorities of being a believer, that is really what I think believers should do in the midst of this crisis. So there's some positive outcomes here, by the way, from this. There can be the result of this coronavirus can be the church and Christians can sober up to our duties and our great commission calling rather than being distracted by so much of the shallowness and emotion that can so easily distract us and take over our life. This can help us to be better prepared for far more serious crises in the future. Maybe unbelievers out there, if you're listening today, can realize that life isn't you're in control. You need to get right with God and trust him because he is in control. That really, I think, is the key things to keep in mind. And if you missed any of the program today, you can always go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, to hear any parts you missed. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there, because we do live in a changing and challenging world. Never more true than right now. But there is one we can trust in and count on. Jesus Christ and his word, they're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, his word, and his son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233 or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.